it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things to talk about concerning energy. And we all get frustrated when the power goes out. And I think energy's doing a really good job right now airing a commercial that has energy workers, employees, energy workers saying, hey, when the power goes out, our power goes out too. You know, I consider that to be poetic justice. I mean, it wouldn't be fair if the energy employees kept their power and we lost our power. So, you know, they lose their power too. But there are a few things we wanted to talk about here. And Anika Scott is a vice president of customer service and economic development for energy. And Anika joins us on WWL. Anika, good afternoon.
Hi, Scoot. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm excited to be with you today.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and it's great to have you on. So, look, there's a lot going on, and I just wanted to touch base with you. You know, the power goes out sometimes, and nothing has happened. There's no storm. There's no thunderstorm. Doesn't seem to be a reason for that. What do you want to tell people to try to make them a little less frustrated when those things happen?
Sure. So there's always a reason, right? When the power does go out, sometimes it's a car hitting a pole. You know, sometimes it's a piece of equipment that is at the end of its useful life and we need to replace it quickly. But, you know, our job is to get the power back on as quickly and safely as possible, no matter why it goes out. And then to communicate that with our customers. You know they make decisions. We know if the power goes out, you want to know how fast you're going to get back on and why it went out. So our goal is to communicate that information as best and quickly as possible.
You know, the emotional end of summer is over, but this is really the peak hurricane season, September, October, just peak time for storms. I mean, we're so fortunate because it looks like over the next 7 days, there is nothing developing in the Atlantic Basin. And that's, you know, really great news. And, you know, so far, so good. At Energy, have you been proactive? Have you been doing things that make you better prepared to deal with storms?
Yes, we do. We prepare for storms year round. And look, from your mouth to God's ears, no storms this season. That's our goal. We don't like hurricanes, but we're prepared if we get them. So year round, we trim vegetation management back from lines, back from poles. That's a really big percentage of our outages, right? You have vegetation come down, takes the pole out. We lose power. And obviously, we want to get power back on as quickly as possible. And you know, after Hurricane Ida, that was a large outage, as everyone knows. And the council came to us and said, give us a plan to make our system more resilient to storms. And this is a really interesting fact that I think you'll appreciate. We have had 9 Category 4 or 5 storms hit the United States coastlines over the past 50 years. 6 of those have hit within the last 5, and 2 of those hit Louisiana, right, within the last 5. So we know they're coming stronger. We know they're coming more frequently, so we have to be prepared. The council asked us to prepare a resiliency plan, and we filed a really big multi-year plan a couple of years ago. At the end of 2024, they approved the first phase of it, about $100 million. To do projects all over the city. We'll replace 3,000 poles with poles that are wind resistant up to about 140 mile an hour and 63 miles of new electric lines. And hopefully we're getting ready to initiate a phase 2 plan with the goal of, we want customers to, first off, we would love for them not to go out during a storm. Stronger, more resilient infrastructure can give us that. But if they go out, we want to get them back up as fast as possible. when you don't lose a poll, it's much quicker to just string a new lineup as opposed to sitting new polls, and it's a lot cheaper. So it saves everybody money in the long run. Yeah. That's our goal.
But if the polls are designed to withstand 140 mile an hour winds, that's good. That's good. And I guess there's a cost efficient equation where, you know, just doing it to withstand 200 mile an hour winds, because it's not likely to happen, it's not cost efficient to do that.
You're exactly right. And, you know, we hire an outside firm to run all of these models to tell us these are where the projects need to be, and this is your cost benefit to doing them there. At some point, you know, we can't pass along extreme costs to our customers. We don't want to do that. We're very conscious of the cost of that to customers. And look, it costs them an average $1,200 to evacuate. Most people can't afford that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So our goal is just to get back on as fast as possible so people can get back to work, kids can get back to school, and you don't lose food in the refrigerator.
Well, you know, another time that power goes out is sometimes in the winter. It's not as likely here as in other parts of the country, but you know, we can have of icy conditions that cause the lines to break, the wires to break because of the burden from the ice.
Look, we don't like ice either, you know, because you're right. It's so heavy, it sags on our lines. We were very fortunate in this last, you know, Snowmageddon in January.
Yeah.
You know, we had a few outages, but we got people back on really quickly, and we were really proud of how our team responded in really unique circumstances out here in, you know, South Louisiana.
Yeah, we're not prepared for that. We're not used to that. So there are energy policies that are changing. Is energy adapting to all of that okay?
Absolutely. Look, we have a great team of people here. We are constantly looking at better ways to innovate. In fact, I just sent an email out to several customers. We're using drone technology, obviously, to fly our lines to identify areas where you may see an outage at some point. So we are able to identify those. We use AI to say, look, this is when this outage may occur, and we can go in and fix that problem before you actually experience an outage.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do power outages discriminate? Are power outages more likely in some neighborhoods than other neighborhoods?
I know that people who have outages think that,
yeah.
But no, there aren't. It is a very intricate, complicated system. And look, if we see a neighborhood experience an uptick in outages, then we'll drill down and say, okay, is there something going on here that we aren't seeing? That happened about a month or so ago, kind of along the Ferret Street area. We went in, they had a couple of outages. Our team went in, they kind of dug down to see what the issue was. They made some upgrades, and then we communicated that back out to all of the customers, about 7,300 customers in the area, that we realized that we've made the upgrades, and they shouldn't be seeing any additional outages.
So, Nika, was there a time when you were, like, young and you got shocked and you thought electricity was cool and you wanted to do this for a living?
Let me just say this. I am not a lineman. I am in customer service and economic development. Those guys are heroes. I did go up in a bucket truck to see what it looks like up there because, you know, in hurricanes, we can't send a guy up or a gal up in over 30 mile an hour winds. It's just too dangerous. And when you go up in that bucket truck, you realize why. So no, I stay away from electricity. All I do is talk about it.
So that's what we need. We need bucket trucks that can go up in, like, you know, 80 mile an hour winds. You know, get these people strapped in there and let them get up there when the winds are really. We need better bucket trucks.
Look, maybe that's a new product. We'll go into business together, Scoot. Maybe we'll invent a new product.
No,
make
listen,
a lot of money.
If I went into business, you'd go out of business, trust me. So let's just keep things the way they are. Is there anything else you want to tell the customers of energy?
Look, we're got our fingers crossed, hoping for no storms this season. But if so, please make sure you're signed up at myenergy.com. You can get all the information you need about restoration, about outages, when you'll be back on if you go out after a storm. Just make sure you're signed up.
All right. Another quick thought. When we go through a period where we don't have storms, does energy get complacent? Do you not think about what you need to do to make things even better? Or do you try to be proactive?
We are proactive, and we have a total operations and maintenance program that we perform all year long. And as well, in addition to our resilience program, they're kind of hand in hand. One is reliability, one is resilience to help us recover from storms faster. And we work those every day, all year long.
Yeah. Now, I want to confess this on the air to you. There have been times when my power has gone out, and I've said some bad things privately about energy. You know, in my apartment, I've cursed. I've said bad things, and I want to apologize for that.
Because well,
I know you didn't plan for my energy to go out, but I can curse a lot. I can say really bad words when it goes out.
I understand it. You know, no one wants to lose power, and we certainly don't want customers to lose power. Our business is to keep the power on,
okay,
right? So, and if it goes out, we want it back up as soon as possible.
Yeah, because you don't make money when the power's out.
That is correct.
Yeah, all right. Nika Scott, Vice President of Customer Service and Economic Development with Energy, thank you for spending time with us, and thank you for being a longtime listener, too.
Thank you, Scoot.
All right. Thanks, Nika.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.